Why don't you stand to your feet? We'll go to the word of the Lord very quickly. I have a point that I would like to make today. Let's start with John 19. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. The soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put it on him on a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Go down to John 19, verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." I want you to say that with me. It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Jesus, bless us today as we come to hear your word. Open our minds, open our hearts to understand, and give us a desire to live for you above all else. Guide every word, oh God, this morning. Thank you for this wonderful Easter morning already. We give you praise and glory. Touch every person under the sound of my voice, every person that could not be here. Bless them today. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. As you're seated, bump your neighbor and say, "It is finished." I want to talk today about this one topic, beyond the finish line. Beyond the finish line. Throughout the history of mankind, throughout the generations of men over hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, even today in our own society, men and women, there is a competition, there is a goal, there is a finish line, there is any game that you have a goal, you have something you're trying to get to. You're trying to outrun somebody, be stronger than somebody, you're smarter than somebody, make more money, do better for your family, provide. Throughout the history of mankind, there's always been this challenge to be better than everybody and everything else. There is a finish line. There is something you're working towards. You're trying to attain something before you get too old that you can't do it. You're trying to put back in a nest egg for retirement before you can't provide for your family and have something to live on. There is a finish line beyond the finish line. The word "finish" is used as a verb with an object to bring something to an end or to completion, to complete, to come to the end of something, maybe a course or a period of time, to come to the finish of it, to use completely. It's often followed up by an up or an off. We have finished this up. To overcome completely, to destroy or kill, to complete and perfect in detail, to put the final touches on. And it goes on and on, but you get the point. There's a finish line. Anybody working towards a finish line? Anybody here have a goal? Anybody here have something you've been trying to get accomplished in your life? That's a finish line. That's an accomplishment or an end point, a finish line. Jesus hanging on the cross said, "It is finished." And he gave up the ghost. It is finished. It's over. I'm done. So I want to talk just a little bit about beyond the finish line. Beyond the finish line. There are people all throughout this wonderful book we call the Bible, throughout its pages of history and time and or stories of men and women from all different walks of life, men and women who reached their "it is finished" moment, and then they went beyond the finish line. Men like Samson in Judges 16 and 29, and Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and the other with his left hand. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all of his might, and the house fell upon the Lord's and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which slew in his life. Samson, the mighty judge, the mighty warrior, the mighty weapon of God. He got to his "it is finished" moment. They blinded him. They put him at a mill grinding and walking around. They made him a slave, a laughingstock. The society picked on him. They threw things at him. He was a nobody, a nothing. It was finished. No more the conquering hero. No more the man of power and strength. No more the man who would walk in and command power over people and they would look at him in awe. Now he was laughed at. He was scorned. He was ridiculed. But he found his beyond the finish line. He turned himself to God again and said, God, just this one more time. You take me out with it, it's all right, but I want to go out with a bang. Beyond the finish line of your life. Where are you at in your life? What is your situation of, it is finished, I'm done with this. I'm not going back to that person that I was. We look at men like Jonah. Jonah ran from the call of God. The Bible said he left the city where he was at. He went down the street. He went down to Tarshish. He went down to the ship. He got on the ship. He went down the bottom of the ship. The storms came. The waters began to rage. The storms began to blow. They're throwing everything overboard except for him. Finally, they said, hey, there's a cat down there sleeping in this storm. They call him up. What's going on? Oh, this storm isn't because of y'all. It's because I'm running from my God. Throw me overboard. They throw him overboard. He goes into the belly of a great fish, the Bible says. And he goes down to the bottom of the sea. It is finished. Could you imagine? It's over. I'm in all this slime and gunk and it's stinky and I'm in the bottom of the sea. I'm dead. I'm not getting out of here. You talk about claustrophobic. That would be horrible. No filet mignon down there. It is finished moment. It's finished. But then you look, Jonah 1:17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. And he came to himself in 3 days and three nights, and he began to pray. Sometimes you got to have an it is finished moment to get beyond the finish line. Sometimes you got to get in that moment of, I can't do this anymore, to get beyond, to take the next step forward. To get beyond your trouble and your trials and your situation. To get beyond your depression and your fear and your frustration. You've got to get beyond that. But it takes you. It takes you for yourself saying, God, here I am. God, I don't know what else to do. God, I'm in the belly of this great fish. Get me out. I'll go. I'll go. I'll do what you want me to do, God. Beyond the finish line. Then we look at men like Daniel. Committed, sold out to God, had his heart, had a purpose for God, was going to pray no matter what anybody said, was going to live for God and do the things of God no matter what anybody did or said. Daniel 6:16, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. That's an it is finished moment. Oh God, you talk about pray. Well God, you know, I'm human, okay? I'm just being honest. God, why would you even let me go into the den of lions? I've been praying. I've been faithful. I've been fasting. That won't happen to me. No. Wait, what? I'm going in the den of lions? Woo! That's what I would do. Just making sure you're awake, buddy. Your it is finished moment. Maybe you've been praying. Maybe you've been doing everything right. Maybe you've been reading and fasting and witnessing and spreading the gospel. Maybe you've been teaching Bible studies and you've been giving your heart and your time and everything about you is geared toward the kingdom of God. And you're still going to have an it is finished moment. You've got to get beyond the finish line. What's beyond the finish line? Because it's not over at the finish line. When a race is done and you cross that finish line, you don't just curl up right there and you stop, it's over. No. You go get some more juices in you, some potassium. You get a little something to eat. You go shower, I hope. You change some clothes. You go have a nice meal. You go recoup and refresh your body because you've been running a race. It's not the one who runs the swiftest, nor the one who shines for a day, but it's he that endureth to the end. Folks, this is a battle. We're in a battle. We're in a race. You've got to set aside the weights that so easily beset us, the little things, the things that trip you up. You've got to get beyond the finish line. It is finished. One of the greatest examples that we have in the Bible, a man by the name of Job. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What are you going to do in your moment when it's finished? How are you going to get beyond the finish line? The Bible says, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. John 11:24, Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at that day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. How you're going to get beyond the finish line is through Jesus Christ. Thank God for the shed blood of Jesus on that cross. The finish line wasn't finished at the cross. The cross is just the beginning. The cross is just the beginning. It gives us access. It gives us covering. We are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. We can be overcomers because of that shed blood. You can live for God. You can get beyond the moment that you're living in, the situation you're living in, the trouble, the trial, the frustration, whatever it is, you can get beyond it. Beyond the finish line. Beyond the finish line. Even John, the Revelator, had a "it is finished" moment. We find him in Revelation 5:1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. John's watching a picture of the end time unfold before his eyes. And in one place in Revelation, he uses the phrase, I saw, 36 times in 34 verses. And at this point, he is overcome by anxiety and desperation because he doesn't know how things will end and how things will turn out. Do you ever get like that when you're frustrated and you have an "it is finished" moment and you don't know what's going to happen next? And it's just, you throw your hands up in the air, you don't know what to do. This is where John was at. And from John's limited earthly perspective, it seems that destiny is hanging in the balance because nobody is worthy to open the seals of this scroll of judgment and to read the pages thereof. And it's the pages that would vindicate the redeemed of all ages. And there is no one in heaven and no one in earth and nobody under the earth who is found capable of completing this task. This veteran of intense personal persecution and countless battles with religious leaders and Roman emperors, and Satan himself is now reduced to tears because of the outcome of the ages, and it's uncertain. And John says, I wept much. I cried. I wept to sob and to wail aloud much. The things of God are often far different from the way that we and the way that they appear to us. They're different than what they appear to us with our earthly perspectives. And one of the worshiping elders, he steps over to John and, hey, bud, don't weep. It's behold the lion. And John looks and says, I see a lamb. I see a lamb. Behold a lion. But when John looks, he sees the Lamb. Revelation 5:5, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, and hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the 4 beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. The problem isn't John's eyesight, it was John's perspective. Did you hear that? The problem is not in your eyesight. It's in your perspective. In your "it is finished" moment. Beyond the finish line. What he sees is correct, but what he understands is incorrect. The one who was walking had his eyes on the problem, while the one who was worshiping had his eyes on the solution. When you get out of self and out of flesh and you begin to worship completely, written in scars, welcome, worthy, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. You begin to worship and you get into that spiritual. We've got to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Things begin to happen, not only on the inside, but on the outside. Things begin to happen around you when you begin to worship that Lamb of God. Have you ever felt hopeless? Overwhelmed? Trapped? Helpless? That's simply because you haven't seen the end of the story. Look beyond the finish line. If you're in an "it is finished" moment, if you will, look beyond the finish line. Look to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Before you chide the disciples for their unbelief or berate them for their lack of vision or scold them for not hanging around to see the miracle on that first Easter morning, remember that you didn't go through the agony they went through. Can you imagine? You weren't there on Friday when Jesus died. They didn't have an inspiring drama to look at or a stirring concert or beautiful sunrise service. The sunrise was beautiful this morning. Anybody see it? It was gorgeous. The heavens were red, 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 red. I know it's gray now, but it was beautiful. Right back over here, it was gorgeous. Red, 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 red. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for another sunrise. They didn't have a beautiful sunrise service that morning. There had never been an Easter Sunday at that point. Only a Friday that was far, far from good. They had been with Him at the Last Supper. As He spoke mysteriously of the one who would betray Him. It struck fear in their hearts and they asked, "Is it I? Is it I?" They had been with Him in the garden as He prayed in agony, so long that they finally fell asleep from sheer exhaustion. They were there when Judas came and betrayed Him, and they realized the horror of what His earlier words really meant. They tried to defend Him, but who can stand against a Roman legion? They felt a burst of hope when Jesus said, "I can pray to my Father. He can give me 12 legions of angels." In instant despair when He continued, "But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled?" They had followed Jesus at a distance, lurking in the shadows outside the gates as He was put through the mockery of the trials He went through. They heard with everyone else the fabricated evidence that was brought before Him. The outright lies against Him. Their hearts sunk. The resounding verdict of guilty. Guilty! Guilty. They had seen Jesus scourged till He could no longer stand under His own power. His skin literally ripped off in huge hunks. It was gruesome. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't fun. They had seen the makeshift crown of thorns as it pressed upon His scalp. And the blood began to ooze. They had seen Him beaten, slapped, pummeled, hurt, till His countenance was permanently marred. He seemed only a grotesque caricature of a man. They had hope beyond hope that when Jesus was taken before the crowd that this nightmare would be over. Surely the thousands that He had healed and touched and ministered to, surely the ones He had fed freely would stand up and say, "Oh no, not this injustice, take me." But no one stood beyond the finish line. With growing horror, they watched the mob under the evil influence of the Sanhedrin turn a convicted murderer loose and begin to scream, "Crucify Him! Crucify Jesus!" Till Pilate was pressured to act. They had watched engulfed by the angry mob, scared for their very lives, as Jesus was nailed to the cross. hoisted in the air to hang, nailed, hanging naked, beaten, humiliated. They had watched his labored breathing and groans of pain, fully aware that crucifixion was really death by suffocation. They had heard the last cry, "It is finished!" They were there when the Roman soldier pierced Jesus' side. One final injury that screamed the final verdict. He is dead. There's no question about it. It is finished beyond the finish line. Beyond the finish line. They were there when his unrecognizable body was unfastened from the cross and laid on the ground to be wrapped for burial. They were there weeping and mourning and grieving the procession that carried Jesus to a borrowed tomb. They were there when the huge stone was rolled into place. They had to take that long, long walk home to a life that seemingly no longer existed. It was finished. It was over. But I'm preaching about beyond the finish line this morning. Have you ever felt hopeless? Anybody? Anybody? Have you felt, be honest. Have you felt hopeless? Have you felt overwhelmed? Have you felt trapped and helpless? That's simply because you haven't seen the end of the story yet. Oh, they were sad. They were hurt. He was dead. He was no more. But that was just the beginning. Beyond the finish line. Oh, hallelujah. Beyond the finish line, there was victory. There was hope, not just for them, but for us. Beyond the finish line. All throughout the Bible, men and women have had life issues that looked hopeless. They had "it is finished" moments. I'm asking you today to look beyond the finish line. I'm asking you to look at your situation and say, "Devil, this ain't the end of it. This is not the end of me. I'm not giving up. This is just the beginning. I'm going to pray harder. I'm going to witness more. I'm going to teach more Bible studies. I'm going to share the gospel more. I want to live beyond the finish line." When you truly begin to see things from heaven's perspective, the one opening the scroll which controls the ages is not just a slain lamb, but a strong lion. And once John understood this, he could stop weeping. Jesus was not just the lamb slain in Revelation chapter 5 or the lamb slain at Calvary. He was the lamb slain from the foundations of the world in Revelation 13 and 8. His temporary defeat had always been a part of the Master's plan for ultimate victory beyond the finish line. Beyond the finish line. All Satan did that day that he killed the lamb was unveil the lion. Why don't you let the Lamb of God touch your life this morning? Why don't you let the King of Glory come into your heart today and get beyond the finish line? Get beyond the things that have held you back and the things that have hurt you and stopped you, and you've tried over and over and over again, and you get to the same point and you fall off on the same thing. Step beyond. Beyond the finish line. As they come this morning, I wonder if you would stand to your feet. You know, the Bible talks about the Comforter. The Bible talks about this power. There is a plan of salvation. There is a way to get beyond the finish line. Your life is not all there is to it. There is more. This life is but a hand's breadth. It's but a vapor, yes. But there's more. There's more. It might be a Friday in your life right now, but Sunday morning is coming. you're going to rise up again. All you've got to do is get beyond the finish line. Get full of that power from on high. Acts 1 and verse 8. And you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to uttermost parts of the earth. That uttermost, that means southwest Louisiana. Yeah. That means your friends and your neighbors and your family. You can receive that power. What is that power? It's the gift of the Holy Ghost. Through the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Acts 2 and 38, then Peter said unto him, repent. God, I'm sorry. God, I've reached my finish. God, I don't know what else to do. Forgive me. Wash me. Cleanse me. Cover me in that blood. Make me a new man. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you this morning, you can get beyond the finish line. The cross was not the end. The cross was the beginning. The cross, yes, they buried him that day. Yes, they killed him that day. But in 3 short days, he rose again. All power. He had all power. He had the keys of your captivity, of your death. He had the victory. O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Give your heart to God today. I wonder if you'd join hands with your neighbor. I wonder if you would step out of the pew where you're at and bring them with you. Everybody, grab a guest, grab somebody. Just join us around the front. It's Easter. Would you come this morning? Just an Easter Sunday morning. I will not embarrass you, I promise. Get beyond your finish line. If your finish line is that pew, get beyond that pew. This is going to be your year. This is going to be your year. You know why? Because you're going to get beyond your finish line. We've got to. We've got to make it. Anybody here ever been in an it is finished moment? Hopeless, penniless, frustrated, disappointed? You can get beyond that with Jesus. Now right where you're at, lift that hand that you're holding. Let's just begin to love him on this Easter Sunday. God, we thank you this morning for coming, shedding your blood for us, for dying on the cross at Calvary. Lord, it wasn't the finish, it was just the beginning. Get us beyond the finish line. Get us beyond that circumstance that we're facing right now. Get us beyond our own attitude, our own flesh, our own mind. Get us beyond ourselves right now. Change us. Change us, God. We want to be healed. Come on, just begin to talk to him for yourself. God, I love you this morning. God, I want to be refilled or filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. I want that power from on high. I want joy and peace. I want grace and favor. Right now. Right now, I want to be changed, God. Right now, I want to be healed, God. Come on, ask him. God, if there's anything inside of me that shouldn't be, wash me. Forgive me. Cleanse me right now.